Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and today I'm very excited. We are going to be talking to Myra Savant Harris. She's pretty well known in the fancy now for seminars and books that she gives on whelping and raising your newborn puppies. So welcome, Myra. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Excellent. And so today we are going to talk about whelping your puppies. You have a bitch due to whelp. Maybe this is your first litter. Maybe it's your 10th litter, but that still makes your stomach cramp, right?
Right.
So what's the first question that people ask you when they have their litter and they're worried and their eyes are bugging out and they're scared for their girl? And what are we thinking about?
There are several. And the first one that seems to come to mind is, so many bitches, the first sign that they give us is there's a little water bubble at their vulva. There's a little water bubble, and sometimes that little water bubble has green fluid in it. Right. Sometimes the green fluid is just light, and other times it's pretty murky looking, and it's not a pretty shade of green.
Right.
That bubble, and when you combine the bubble with the green fluid that's inside,
right,
that is often the first thing that a breeder sees. And it scares the crap out of them.
Yep.
For one thing, they're pretty sure that they're looking at an imminent delivery. And if they don't get an imminent delivery, especially if the bitch licks that bag of water and breaks it,
right,
then they're absolutely in sheer terror. And if the green fluid is there, the first thing they do is go online, describe that they're seeing green discharge, and everybody there will say, I'd take her to the vet if she were mine.
Right.
I mean, that is an emergency. So the first thing I'm here to tell you is that the bubble means absolutely nothing except that labor has started.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean there's a delivery imminent. It does mean there's a puppy inside somewhere, but it may not even be in the birth control. It's kind of like, view it as a little balloon. It's a little water balloon with a puppy inside.
Right.
So when those contractions start, part of that little water balloon squeezes and that fluid kind of goes into the birth canal and comes out the vulva like
almost
hourglassing.
Lubricant almost.
Right. And it's like it's that bubble has hourglassed.
Right.
So there's a little bubble out there, but the puppy's still safe and sound. And if the green discharge is there and scares us all to death, here's what I'm going to tell you. The green discharge means absolutely nothing. It does not relate in any way to puppy distress, fetal distress. Absolutely not one way.
Excellent.
That green discharge has a name. It's in all the vet textbooks. It's a source of irritation to me that the vets have never bothered to look up what that stuff is.
Right.
The name of the fluid is uteroverdin.
Okay.
Which means uterus green.
Yes.
And it's not anything scary. It's just the equivalent of human bile.
Mm-hmm.
It's caused by, during the process of development, those 9 weeks, the puppy is exchanging his dead red blood cells all the time. And in the human body, we do that in the gallbladder, and we end up with bile.
Right.
In the dog, they do it in the placenta, and we end up with green zonal areas on the placenta.
Right.
And as the delivery begins, that placenta is obviously beginning to deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that's a puppy organ,
right,
not a mama organ.
Right.
And as the puppy reaches full term, he's ready to come out.
Right.
That placenta is just releasing the puppy from the little belt that holds it. And that green discharge is indicative of nothing but labor.
Good deal. So then the sort of automatic follow-up question, when would green discharge be a problem? So you're seeing your puppy, it's just, this is your bubble, okay? So is there ever a time that there's a discharge that you're going to look at that will be concerning?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Breeders have confused the green fluid with the human birth experience that's called meconium.
Okay.
Meconium in a human is a scary thing.
Right.
Because remember when I said that bile in a human is an internal thing?
Right.
And as the infant is in that amniotic sac, he's swallowing, got fluid going through his system all the time. And that bile will turn his poop greenish.
Right.
So when the baby, human baby, loses consciousness, then the human baby, his sphincter will open, and he poops into the water. And that bile, that green bile from inside his body, turns the amniotic fluid green. And it means, most of all, that the baby has something neurologically wrong that made him lose consciousness. That's why we get our panties in a twist in labor delivery.
And your background is as a human
as
nurse.
As a labor delivery nurse and an NICU nurse. And so I'm very familiar with green fluid, both in the human and in the canine.
Excellent.
But in the canine, the green just means
exteriorly
they've exchanged the same red blood cells, and so that fluid is green because of the placenta. But it's not a detachment.
Right.
Other than labor is starting and the baby's starting to loosen
Excellent.
Up from his placenta.
Excellent. Okay, so the next step, you've got your green discharge, you've got a puppy coming. What's the next place that people will be concerned?
The next thing that people get concerned about is when a puppy gets stuck.
Right.
The puppy's coming out, and even if there was no bubble in there, or there was no green stuff, the puppy's coming out, and all of a sudden, mom is still pushing, and puppy isn't coming out.
Right.
So, at any point during the time that happens, they, at the seminars, I show them how to do it.
Right.
But I can describe how to do it, too, so that they hear it.
Yeah.
They need some vag lube.
Yep.
Some regular KY in the liquid, 20cc syringe, and a feeding tube. They fill that syringe with that vag lube, slippery, slidey stuff, and then they hook up the feeding tube. They insert that feeding tube into the vagina. It's small. It'll go way up past the puppy. They just go ahead and push that syringe full of that vag lube into the birth canal up behind the puppy. They kind of position mom around and around to try to get that fluid all kind of around the puppy. A lot of times, that's all that's needed. Let that puppy become lubricated, because the puppies that get stuck don't tend to be in their sacs anymore.
Right.
So those are the puppies we see.
You don't have the lubrication.
No lubrication. They've dried out, and there's not that little wedge of water balloon that's kind of
pushing
it out.
Right.
So that's one of the things we do, but that's one that I can describe easily.
And when you're passing that feeding tube / catheter into the vaginal wall, up into the cervix area. Do you have a good trick, and I'm asking you this for my own self, do you have a good trick for making sure you're staying in the vagina and not going into the urethra?
Oh, this is easy stuff.
That's what I'm asking.
This is easy. Because the urethra, remember this, this is hard to hit.
Okay.
This is really hard to hit.
Okay.
Ask any labor delivery nurse who's had to pass a Foley on a lady who's in labor how hard it is to hit that one. Now, clearly, from a man, we can dart that thing in from the doorway. But for a female, it's difficult. So don't look at it as an easy thing to hit. It's not an easy target. And if you did have to hit it, if you did happen to go in it, no harm, no foul, because you're going to see yellow urine backing up in the tube right away.
Perfect.
So you think, oh, I'll get rid of that stuff, which is sterile, you know, unless there's an infection there. Just push that stuff out and try again. But the vulva is going to be a wide open target, and the vagina at that point, loose, flexible, easy to hit.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so now we have our stuck puppy out, because we've looped it up.
Yep, we got him.
We've got him out. And so what's the next concern?
The next concern is that these puppies and human babies, all mammals, are born with that amniotic fluid. Pretty much from one end to the other. They've got it in their lungs, they've got it in their trachea, their esophagus, they've got it. And your job is to get it out, and not by swinging. Because we know how much damage it would cause a human brain to be swung the way dog breeders have traditionally done it.
Right.
And there's so many nicer ways to do it now.
Okay, so what are some of those nicer ways?
The accordion technique, where you just kind of hold the puppy head down and just kind of gently push his butt toward his lungs. just kind of gently get him upside down and away so that that head is going to give gravity. Mm-hmm. You know, that head down is going to let mm-hmm. gravity work. Another way is to use a DALI suction catheter. A lot of dog breeders have become familiar with the DALI. It's a human tool,
right?
But it's extremely useful to suction out the mouth. Those are ways that we get that puppy dried out. We kind of manipulate him. And during the rubbing process, which everybody knows, you know, rubbing and stimulating, hold the puppy downward. Hold the puppy downward.
With their head facing down.
Yes, with the head facing down. Give gravity a boost as you're rubbing. Give it a little more pressure so that you can kind of encourage those fluids to come out. And then if after you've done all these things, if the puppy sounds gurgly,
right,
which I get a lot, you know, I'll mm-hmm. get these questions. The puppy's walking around. He's kind of crawling. He's even rooting, but he's real gurgly. Mm-hmm. He sounds still wet. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, one of the neatest little tricks, and a dog breeder taught me this, that she had used, was to put a little Afrin nasal spray, regular Afrin nasal spray, on her fingertip. And she just wiped it around on the puppy's tongue. Gets into the system. It's amazing how quickly, you know what Afrin does to your nasal passages?
Yeah.
Everybody does. Use it on a little puppy, not in the nose necessarily, but it dries fluid. That's why it works in your nose.
Well, fascinating.
It's
not harmful to the puppies.
Not harmful. It would be harmful if you made the puppy suck down the entire bottle. Then we'd be in deep trouble. But using it on your fingertip, using a little tiny, tiny little bit of a spray on his little tongue, getting that in there, within 15 minutes, many, many breeders come back and say, wow, that really worked. The puppy's finally dried out. But it has the same effect on them that it has on us.
Interesting. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. Aren't these little tips so
yes,
cool?
Yes, I love it. I've been breeding dogs for 30-some-odd years.
You
I've never heard that
you
one.
You just needed some Afrin, some badge lube, a feeding tube, and a syringe.
Who knew? Okay. So we've got our puppies out, and they're going, and we've still got more in there.
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah.
And it's been an hour.
Oh, an hour, or 2 hours, or three, or five, or in my case, the longest whelping pause, because that's what I call it. The longest one I personally had was 10 hours. This was after I had decided, okay, I'm not going to section these guys anymore.
Right.
They know
right.
what they're doing.
Right.
So that whelping pause, the way to assess it that really counts is to watch mom really carefully, but watch literally her. Is she responsive when you talk to her?
Right.
Will she take some snacks from you, or will she take a drink of water?
Mm-hmm.
Will she go outside and walk around and go pee and poop? And remember, keeping her hydrated during labor and peeing. Get that bladder empty. Let's not make a puppy have to fight for space.
Right.
With a full bladder.
Right.
So we're going to keep her bladder emptied. We're going to keep her hydrated. If she's doing these things and acting like a normal little dog, then you're home free.
Okay.
We can't continue to put our bitches at risk with needless C-sections with the thought of saving a puppy because we're going against really nature. Your treasure is mom. And so many times it's so hard for us to accept it as a breeder because we plan the breeding to get puppies and we want our puppies. Well, as long as mom's okay, chances are pretty darn good your puppies are just fine. Mom just needed a rest. The puppies needed more time to cook. Even a difference of 6 hours will make a huge difference with surfactant in their lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So your job is just to sit on your hands, throw away your clocks, and watch your mom. And a mom who acts fine, she's not an emergency surgery.
Okay. So your key to an emergency C-section is mom's condition.
Mom's condition, because mom's the one who's at risk, really, to be hurt, harmed, bleed to death on a table, have an infection following, or die from the anesthesia. Mom's at risk.
Certain breeds, absolutely.
We can live with the loss of a puppy. This is what I always remind breeders. We've all lost puppies. It's hard for us, and we grieve. I meet breeders who have lost moms due to C-sections. Those breeders are still weeping 5 years later. That, we don't give that grief up.
Right. Your philosophy is emergency C-sections are
when the mom shows you. Yes. When the mom shows you she's in distress, when she's straining more than 2 hours, even in after an hour, I'm getting real anxious and I'm starting to get the car warmed up and thinking, geez Louise,
and when you say straining, she's in hard labor. She's pushing.
She's pushing, but the thing to remember about a bitch pushing. There again, sometimes we kind of miss the boat because we remember what it was like when we had a kid. Well, we're pushing to a count of 10 and that's all going well. With a bitch, she pushes in little tiny, short, tiny little pushes. And she's not usually crying or whining, although they will, but it's not a usual thing. So we want to watch for her pacing and acting like she has to pee every 3 seconds, getting in that pee position or the poop position, straining for 2 or 3 seconds, and then getting up and walking more. That's a push for her.
Okay.
So we watch that. We pull down her lip to look at the color of her mucous membranes. If they're pink and nice, then we know her circulatory system is A-okay. She's not getting shocky. But if you pull down an eyelid or a gum and you see white little gums or the inside of a white...
Now we have panic.
Now we have, okay, let's now go to the vet. Let's now. And you don't want to wait until she's comatose. But on the other hand, a mom who's eating, drinking, wagging her tail, peeing and pooping, and proud of the puppy that she did have,
right,
she's not exactly what you'd call emergency medicine.
Good, good. That's a really great distinction because I don't want people to think you never have a C-section.
Oh, no, you do.
Or that you have them too soon. So yeah. I love that description of how to...
Especially that constant push that... is so small, the pushes are so little, almost like a grunt.
Right.
We miss it because we think in terms of these lengthy pushes. And sometimes a puppy is malpositioned. They need help. There's every need in the world, but there's a caution to breeders.
Right.
If you phone a vet at 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. and 11 p.m., and you're trying to get him to help you, there's not a vet in the world who is able to say, put on the coffee pot, honey, I'm on the way over, and we're going to whelp that litter. I'll stay up with you till 9 tomorrow morning if I need to, because they have office hours that start at 8. So you ask for help. They can give it to you, and it's major surgery for your bitch.
Right, because a lot of the vets, at least the ones that I've worked with, very good,
very good vets. Very concerned.
Absolutely. They see it in terms of, I can solve this now.
I can do so much, and I can't do any more, and I'm not going to go whelp a litter, and you're scared, you're panicked, and I don't want you calling me every hour on the hour, and then I wake up tomorrow at 6 and get ready to go to work.
Right.
And
right.
I don't blame them. Who could?
Who could?
So we need to learn not to yell for help as quickly as settle down and assess your bitch. And get used to the concept that bitches normally have whelping pauses. It's an event.
Right.
All of our lives, people who have been around dogs have heard these stories of, well, I thought my bitch was finished, and then I went to bed, and the next morning there was another puppy. Or there were two more puppies. Yes. That was a whelping pause.
Right.
And the only thing that saved that bitch from a section was we didn't know she had more puppies.
Right. Okay, so final question for today. I know you've got a wonderful seminar to do here today at the Spinoni Club of America, National Specialties, so I know people are very anxious to get to hear you. Excellent. And so just to wrap up the whole thing, we'll give them a brief taste of one of your other items. Say you've got a puppy that's not doing well.
Yep. Well, then right off the bat, you think, okay, there's a couple of
things. Okay, number one, define what is a puppy that's not doing well.
He is usually inactive, sometimes not twitchy, often not pink. He's not in a heap anymore with the rest of the puppies, twitching and sleeping and moving around. He's often by himself. Sometimes mom is not really even paying attention to him. So that puppy could be dehydrated, hypoglycemic, and usually if you're one, you're the other. It could have been caused by diarrhea or constipation. Either one is going to result in the lack of an appetite, the loss of an appetite. So your job is, first thing I can do right off the bat, a little bit of frosting, the little tubes, a little frosting on the tongue. That's glucose, pure glucose. It'll act real quick if you put it in the mouth. Next thing, I can check him for hydration. And if I'm worried, I can sub-Q him a cc, 1 cc per ounce of body weight at the back of his little neck.
Right.
I can hydrate him.
Right.
If it sucks up right off the bat, then you think, okay, he's dehydrated. Now I'll do it again because then I'm going to hydrate him.
So tell our listeners real quick how you check for dehydration, because this is a very important one.
And it's hard.
Yes.
I mean, and experience tells you a lot. First thing, you're going to feel the difference. If you're an experienced puppy person, you will feel it as soon as you pick that puppy up. His muscle reflexes aren't as fast. He pull away his little leg, and it doesn't pop right back up to his little body. Pull the little skin at the back of his neck and all across his back. If it stays up because it's kind of sticky, that's a sign of dehydration. And if you're questioning it, give him some cc's of warm IV fluid at the back of the neck. It's not going to hurt him. And it may save his life. That in conjunction with glucose. Then once you know he's hydrated and you've given him enough blood sugar to get going and warm him up, then you can start thinking through all the other options.
Right.
And watch him in a warming box all by himself.
Right. Warm. Warm and hydrated.
Warm.
Hydrated.
Warm and hydrated. Sugar.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
To start
Excellent.
With. That's
right.
your troubleshooting.
Right.
That's your
first
troubleshooting.
First line. Excellent. Okay. Well, Myra, thank you so very much. I know you have people anxiously waiting to hear from you. So I'm going to let you go. I sure appreciate you taking the time, and I will make sure that our listeners have links to your books and your DVD and your seminars and all that kind of great stuff in our show notes, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.